Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hey guys, welcome back to the All or Something Living podcast. We are on episode 12, where we are going to talk about all you need to know about the keto diet. So unless you're living under a rock, then I'm guessing that you've heard of the keto diet because it is all the rage right now, which still continues to shock me because I thought we've realized by now that diets don't work. And that people would recognize right away that this is just a fad diet, just like all the others, and we'll move on from it soon, just like we have with all the other ones. But we seem to be convinced that this is it, that this is the magical diet, the solution that we've been waiting for. But is that true? I don't know. Let's talk about it. So I originally wrote out a giant blog post about this topic, but I never got around to publishing it. Sometimes I tend to get nervous to reveal the other side of these mainstream trends that everyone is talking about, mainly because they're so widespread. People take them as gospel, and a lot of times people don't want to hear what I have to say about it because I'm here to be the party pooper who turns the lights on and recovers the truth. And it's not fun, it's not sexy, but at the same time, I also want to approach this topic as neutrally as possible. That way you don't feel like I'm telling you how to live your life, but I am offering you options and I'm educating you on what is available to you. And again, revealing the truths of these fad diets. So I share these things because they're what I needed to hear when I was also on that diet train. I was desperate to find that one diet, lifestyle change, or way of eating that would change everything for me. So let's just get right into it because we have a lot of ground to cover in this episode. So my goal in this episode is to bring in both sides of the conversation so that you can make an educated choice on whether or not you'd like to partake. I am just going to be honest and say that it is a little bit biased, but a lot of, like, if you're hearing stuff from the other side about why keto diets are amazing, that's also biased. So we're all a little bit biased, but I do want to pull in the conversation of why people are talking about why it works and why you think it might work for you and just have an honest conversation about this. And again, I want you to know that and remind you that this is the All or Something Living podcast. So whatever choice that you make for yourself and your body and your life, I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to think less of you for that. I think it's your choice to do what you want with your body. And so I support and respect any choice that you think is good for you. And if you try it out, maybe right now you're deep into the keto diet and you're thinking, oh, it's really working for me and I don't know what you're talking about. That's fine. Like, you do you. And if later on you find that it's not working anymore and you want another option, then maybe you can return to this episode when it feels right for you. Maybe it never will. Who knows? But if I'm speaking to you right now and maybe you are on the keto diet or you've tried it and you're feeling a little bit lost, you're feeling like, this isn't working for me, but I don't know what else to do. I feel like I'm at my wit's end with this stuff and I need another way. Well, then this episode is definitely for you right now. So let's start with some real talk. If you've been seeking the lifestyle change that suddenly transforms your life and you feel like this keto diet is giving you hope, then I want you to first of all know that I get you. I understand where you're coming from. I know what it's like to hear the hype about a new diet or lifestyle change and to dream about how your life will be after you get the results that you desire. So for me, it was always prancing around in my teeny weeny bikini with a big smile of confidence on my face and not a care in the world. Like, I thought that if I was skinny, it would solve all my problems and that people would like me and respect me more and that I would love myself more and it would just change everything. And it's so enticing to have these daydreams until you wake up and reality hits that these kind of things don't often exist. And this is often what our predictable reality, especially when we're constantly pursuing weight loss and diets, this is what that reality actually looks like. So I break it down into a few phases that I'll go through. And as I'm going through the phases, just kind of think about yourself. Try to see if you can see your own life or your own self in these phases and where you can relate. So phase one, the preparation phase. So this is where you start out filled with excitement and hope. You go out and you get all those keto approved or whatever plan that you're choosing. If you're on Weight Watchers, whatever, clean, even if you're like doing a clean eating challenge or you're doing from a network marketing company, maybe a friend like is selling you all these supplements, you get all the foods, you get all the stuff for the plan, you post about it on social media, you tell your friends about it, and then you find and you post all the quote unquote approved recipes that you can get your hands on. This is the part where you are feeling really hopeful, you're feeling really excited of what's to come. Then you move on into phase two, which is the honeymoon phase. So in this phase, you actually start seeing results. This is where it gets exciting because by results, I mean the scale starts to budge. Your body starts to change. You're even more excited than you ever were before. You post a picture of yourself with a motivational caption about how you finally found the thing. And if everyone tried it, they would get results too. And that all it takes is some willpower and perseverance. And yeah, this is available to anyone. So you get a zillion likes. Everyone tells you how proud of you they are. You start getting the how you did it inquiries. People want to know, like, come on, tell me. They want to know what the secret is. So you're filled with pride as you're given the opportunity to help others, quote unquote, better themselves. But then you move on to phase three, which is the falling out. So in this phase, you experience a kind of falling out where the plan no longer works for you. Maybe your weight begins to plateau. Maybe it's hard for you to stick to the plan anymore because you're getting tired of eating the same foods or you're missing the carbs that you were once eating, whatever, whatever. So at which point your high of losing pounds will go away and you're there, like when, never actually exists because no amount of weight loss feels like enough to you, or maybe it's not happening fast enough. So in order to get to the falling out phase, this could take days, months, sometimes people take years. I personally would go months before I would hit this phase because, I don't know, maybe I had a higher tolerance for like pain and willpower than some people did. But regardless, no matter what the timeline was, I never didn't get to that point. And I've never seen anyone not get to this point that was doing a restrictive diet or cutting out certain food groups or whatever. Because this is the part where you either stop seeing results, like I said before, or maybe you fall off the wagon due to a vacation, the holidays, a difficult life event, and so forth. Or you just get bored of the food or the trend dies out. Maybe people start to realize, oh shit, the keto diet doesn't work. All right, let's move on to the next one. And then you're on to the next trend. But whatever the reason is, the pot of gold is not found at the end of the rainbow. So the search continues. The search for the perfect diet, perfect exercise plan, the perfect body. But for now, after you have to recover from this last diet, so you return to old habits. Then the weight starts piling on again. And by this time, there's a new diet out there, new detox, a new program. There's supplements that are promising some big results. There's a big new trend on the rise. So you dive in headfirst with that well-known enthusiasm because you haven't tried this one yet. Why not move on to this one? Or maybe you have tried it before, but you're a different person now. So this time it'll work for you. But phase one begins again, and then the cycle will repeat itself over and over again. And the sad thing is that I've seen this happen to people to where this cycle just needs to repeat itself for life, and they spend their lives trying to be thin and to diet and try to fit this ideal from society because they think like that's the only way I'll be happy. But they never get there because they're just stuck in this cycle for their entire lives. And that, like I said, is a really sad thing. So let me ask you this question. What is it that you really are seeking through dieting or weight loss? Is it acceptance from yourself, from others, from both? Do you want to have more energy? Do you want to feel better? Do you want to have more confidence? Do you want to be happier? Do you want to live a longer, healthier lifestyle? None of these reasons are wrong or shameful at all. In fact, I wish these things for you just as much as you desire them for yourself. But have you ever noticed that if you get those things from weight loss, like if you get confidence from weight loss, or suddenly somebody's like noticing you after weight loss, that it's only temporary? because the possession of this confidence or this love or acceptance is reliant on the weight loss. And if that weight returns, then that acceptance fades away. That feeling that you had fades away. So it can feel really fleeting and really scary. So then you become scared of gaining weight. It feels like it's the worst thing that can happen to you. On the other hand, what would happen if you learned to support your body in finding its healthy weight and you stopped trying to control it? Because truthfully, while you may have some short-term control, in the long run, biology always wins and your body knows what weight it's comfortable at. But maybe up until this point, you haven't learned how to support your body in getting there. And that can be really difficult to do in our diet culture, in our society that values thinness. How can you know that it's even an option to learn to listen to your body when all you hear is advice on following the experts and following this new diet plan, following this new exercise? Your body is just betraying you. Don't listen to your body. It doesn't know what it's talking about. It wants to go against you, but it's not true. And there is another way that is actually, it's like going back to the basics, really. It's going back to the simplicity of our bodies and how our bodies were designed. And learning to understand that and to tap into that power is what is going to help your body reach its healthy weight. So what can you do? So stick around to the end of this post and I've got something for you. But for now, let's dive into the topic of the all-famous ketogenic diet. And if you're not quite sure what it is, then here is a definition. According to dictionary.com, it's a diet that tends to promote the metabolic formation of ketone bodies by causing the body to use fat rather than carbohydrates as its principal energy source. So why is this diet all the rage? The short answer is that a lot of people around are saying that it works. Like, it's a really popular thing. And as we know in our society, if something is popular, one person says it works and that spreads, then we all take that as gospel. But one thing to keep in mind is that you should be wary whenever you hear the phrase, it works. Don't just take someone's word for it. Even if it's a widespread agreement, even if it's a popular agreement, because the majority isn't always correct. Just like that saying, like, whatever you hear on the internet, oh, you heard it on the internet, it must be true. And that's a sarcastic statement, because what you hear on the internet, just because it's on the internet, does not make it true. So oftentimes, trends can spread without actual evidence to back up the claims behind them. Or maybe it's like pseudo evidence, like short-term evidence, but there's no like real studies with long-term evidence that say that it works for the majority. And this is exactly why it's called a trend, because eventually it'll fade out and get replaced. So when you're seeking truly transformational advice or wisdom, then I want you to look for the patterns that are repeated consistently throughout the centuries. So here are some questions to ask yourself when you hear the phrase, it works, about something you're interested in trying, especially when it's health or weight loss related. So ask yourself, what about this works? Who does it work for? Why does it work? How long has it been working? Where is the scientific research to back up its claims? Where do the studies come from? How comprehensive are these studies and how far do they go back? What are the negative aspects that no one is likely talking about? So research both the pros and cons and weigh them out. Is the person saying it works biased because they're hoping to sell you something? Does it appear to be a sustainable option? Am I required to cut out food groups or macros, carbs, fats, and proteins to make it work? Does this require me to ignore my body's signals in order to do it right? For example, ignoring hunger, cravings, etc. This can seem like a really daunting task, so it does help to, there are some resources that you can go to. There is Christy Harrison. She has a podcast called Food Psych, and she's a registered dietitian, so she's a really good resource to help you sort through the noise of everything. I'll link her in the show notes, but again, it's like I said before, there's a lot of people that are biased on one hand, but I recommend finding resources that give you both sides of the story. Looking to the experts to get some information, but ultimately to make this decision on your own. And with any plan or change or lifestyle, whatever is being offered to you, the key questions to ask yourself are the the ones that the last few that I asked you. So these are the red flags if the answer is, let's see. So going back to does this appear to be a sustainable option? If the answer to you is no, like it's not sustainable, it's not something you could keep up for life, then I recommend avoiding that option. Am I required to cut out food groups or macros, carbs, fats, and proteins to make it work? If the answer is yes, then that's likely not going to be a sustainable option. So that's also something I would avoid. Does this require me to ignore my body's signals in order to do it right? So that's going in the opposite way of intuitive eating. That's going in the opposite way of learning to honor your body's signals. So that's something that I would also be wary of. So let's get into the keto diet and what about it is actually claimed to be effective. So according to the website ruled.me/guide keto diet, the potential benefits of the keto diet include weight loss, controlled blood sugar, improved mental focus, increased energy and normalized hunger, helps with epilepsy, lowers cholesterol and blood pressure, helps improve insulin resistance, and may help clear acne. And then here are some of the potential negative side effects. Cramps, constipation, heart palpitations, reduced physical performance, hair loss, increased cholesterol, development or worsening of eating disorders or disordered eating, gallstones, indigestion, keto rash, keto flu, dry mouth, bad breath, loss of hunger and fullness signals. So after going through that research, here are my thoughts. So you may notice that the listed possible side effects outweigh the possible benefits. And most people say that they pursue weight loss for the purpose of increased health, but it's much more complex than that. Most people are actually pursuing weight loss because thinness and fitness is valued in our society, even at the expense of our health. So it doesn't matter if it's actually making us healthy or not. We want to be skinny, no matter what the cost. So why are we willing to put our health at risk for the sake of being thin? Well, there are many reasons for this, with the most common being that we've been led to believe that thin equals healthy and fat equals unhealthy, and that thin equals worthy and fat equals unworthy. So we truly believe and are willing to take any extreme measure to get thin because we think that's the path to optimal health, but also optimal happiness. But if you take a look at the pros and cons and realize keto could actually be more harmful than good, then you may have to admit to yourself that it's not as good for your health as you once thought. Or that maybe you are willing to risk your health for the sake of being thin. That choice is up to you. But if you're pursuing keto for weight loss, you may want to consider what this Harvard doctor has to say about weight loss and keto. Weight loss is the primary reason my patients use the ketogenic diet. Previous research shows good evidence of faster weight loss when patients go on a ketogenic or very low carbohydrate diet compared to the participants on a more traditional low-fat diet or even a Mediterranean diet. However, that difference in weight loss seems to disappear over time. Think back to that cycle that I told you earlier. Maybe you see short-term results, but what is actually happening in the long term? Dr. Campos is basically saying here that keto is just like any other diet. You may lose weight at first, but eventually you're going to either plateau or you're going to gain it all back and more because your body is going to want to protect that possible famine again by adding on some extra weight. And that's what happens when you go through the weight loss yo-yo cycle, is that you'll gain back more each time because your body is going to fight to protect you and keep you alive. And if keto doesn't seem like a way you're able to eat for a lifetime, like if that just, like maybe you're enjoying the meals that you're eating. Maybe you're enjoying eating more vegetables than you did before, but you're like dying for some carbs. And on the weekends, you're like binging on carbs, or on your cheat day, you're like binging on carbs and sugar, or whatever you can get your hands on. And you're wondering like, why don't I have self-control? But then you think back to all the carbs that you cut out for this entire week. Then you're certainly going to gain all that weight back once you go back to your old ways of eating. Or if keto, like I've been hearing people say that like, oh, keto works for me when I'm actually following it. Well, duh. But is it realistic for you to follow it all the time? Or is it getting exhausting, like going back and forth to and from it? Like, again, there is a more sustainable option. You don't have to always be on this up and down roller coaster of dieting, then not dieting, then dieting, then not dieting. So while we're on the topic of weight loss, you may be thinking, but when I lose weight, my blood pressure drops. I feel better. I feel more confident, etc. And if those are your thoughts right now, then keep in mind that correlation does not mean causation. So what I mean by this is that weight loss and then the other side effects you experience from changing eating habits and increasing movement are simply that, just side effects. And because you've changed some habits, you've experienced some changes. Those changes may include weight loss, but it doesn't mean that weight loss was the cause. Weight loss simply occurred with all the other symptoms. So weight loss is just a side effect of other habits or something deeper going on, or not just weight loss, but weight in general. Whatever, if you're above your set point weight or your healthy weight or whatever, all it is a symptom. So it's not the weight loss itself that's causing these improvements. It's whatever you're doing. It's your habits that's causing these improvements. So as far as epilepsy, cholesterol, and insulin are concerned, the keto diet would have to be executed under the supervision of a physician to track and support those conditions. So the keto diet, I'm sure, can be effective and maybe has been effective under the supervision of a dietitian to treat an actual health condition. But again, the supervision is the important part. So you actually know like what you're doing and if it's making a difference. But for like normal eaters and normal everyday people just like us, it's not necessary. For the claim of mental focus being a benefit, I'd say that's a big fat maybe. Especially if you were able to stick around long enough and be consistent enough to achieve ketosis, which most people aren't. Again, that's why people are saying that they're on and off of keto, because it gets too difficult for them. So then they have to take a break. So then they never really actually, most people don't experience ketosis. I've tried pretty much every diet out there myself, including the keto diet. And the only thing that I experienced on keto is some serious brain fog. And if I told somebody like a keto diet connoisseur that, then they would say, probably tell me that I didn't stick around long enough to achieve the benefits. Maybe they would tell me that I didn't have enough willpower, whatever, whatever. But what the truth is that biology kicked in. My body told me that this isn't a viable solution for me. And so it caused me to binge on carbs and sugar because my body was trying to keep me safe. It's true that like I didn't stick around long enough to achieve the benefits, because having brain fog and low energy sucks. And like I said, it led me into a serious binge, and I didn't want that for my life. So I didn't do the keto diet anymore. And then let's talk about the idea of getting out of touch with your hunger and fullness signals. So just like with any diet, we're always encouraged to ignore our hunger and fullness signals. So we're told that like, if we're hungry, it's usually that we're not actually hungry. We're probably thirsty, or we're just bored or whatever. And so if you're actually feeling hunger, you are taught to deny that hunger and to even like feel like it's a betrayal, that hunger is a betrayal, or it's shameful for any reason. So you ignore it. And what your body does is it compensates for that. If you're hungry and you're not eating, your body is going into a starvation mode, or a form of starvation mode, an early form of starvation mode. So what it's going to do is it's going to slow down your metabolism to help you out. Again, it's going to go into survival mode. So if you diet long enough, then you are going to get out of touch with your hunger and your fullness signals, and you're not going to be able to read what your body is telling you. And it does, once you get out of the dieting mentality, once you stop dieting, it takes a while to recognize those signals and to learn to honor them again. And overall, your plan to get healthier doesn't have to, and it's also not normal to include negative side effects. So changing habits for the sake of improving your health should feel good. And although it'll take a lot of work to establish those habits up front, it should feel simple. If you're thinking, but I've lost weight on the keto diet and I'm feeling fine, well, that may be true. Remember what I've mentioned in the beginning of this article about the weight loss cycle most people get caught up in. If you don't remember, take a look at it, a listen at it again, because you're still likely in the honeymoon phase for the time being. And while we're on the topic of dieting, let's discuss some truths about dieting and food restriction in general. Because even if you're disguising it under a lifestyle change, cutting out any food or food group, or even placing restrictions on food for the purpose of weight loss, is a diet. Here are some symptoms of diet backlash you may experience. And I got these from the book Intuitive Eating, which I'll link in the show notes. So the mere contemplations of going on a diet brings on urges and cravings for sinful foods and fatty favorites such as ice cream, chocolate, cookies, and so forth. Upon ending a diet, going on a food binge and feeling guilty, one study indicated that post-dieting binges occur in 49% of all people who end a diet. Having little trust in self with food, understandably, every diet has taught you not to trust your body or the food you put in it. Even though it is the process of dieting that fails you, the failure continues to undermine your relationship with food. Feeling that you don't deserve to eat because you're overweight, that can be a backlash. The Last Supper, which is every diet, is preceded by consuming foods you won't eat again. So food consumption often goes up during the Last Supper mentality. It may occur over one meal or over a couple days. The Last Supper seems to be the final step before dietary cleansing, and it's almost a farewell to food party. I know that when I was about to go on a three-month transformation challenge, like body transformation challenge, I was at my brother's house home alone for the weekend, and they left like two pizzas. I literally ate pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that entire weekend. And I felt physically sick and I felt terrible, but I was like, well, I'm starting the plan on Monday, so I'm going to feel better then, but I have to get in this like pizza while it's the last time I'm able to actually eat it. Another backlash symptom of dieting is social withdrawal. So since it's hard to stay on a diet and go to a party or out to dinner, it just becomes easier to turn down social invitations. At first, social food avoidance may seem like the wise thing to do for the good of the diet, but then it escalates into a bigger problem. There's often fear of being able to stay in control, and it's not uncommon for this experience to be reinforced by saving up the calories or fat grams for the party, which usually means eating very little. But by the time the dieter arrives to the party, ravenous hunger dominates and eating feels very out of control. I know that was true for me when I was really restrictive with my food choices. Jason was deployed a few years ago, and I was afraid to go anywhere or hang out with anybody because I didn't want to blow my diet. And it was really lonely. I wished that I could just go to a party or go out to dinner and not have to worry about it. And then the other thing that I would do, or that we all do, is really when we think about Thanksgiving meals like that. A lot of people tell me how like they ate so much for Thanksgiving and how sick they feel and yada yada, because a lot of people won't eat the day before or the day of Thanksgiving because they're like, I got to save up all my calories and I already know I'm going to eat a lot. And then inevitably you do eat a lot because your body is starving by the time you start to have that meal. And then you end up overeating, and then you feel terrible. And then you say, this is why I can't trust myself around food. So that's another endless cycle. Another backlash of dieting is sluggish metabolism. Each diet teaches the body to adapt better for the next self-imposed famine, aka another diet, and metabolism slows as the body efficiently utilizes each calorie as if it's the last. Then another one is using caffeine to survive the day. Coffee and diet drinks are often abused as management tools to feel energetic while being underfed. And if you listen to my last episode on stress, caffeine is one of the ways that can make your body feel really stressed. So if you have too much caffeine, it's going to put your body into that stress mode as well, which can cause long-term negative effects. And then finally, dieting backlash can be eating disorders. For some, repeated dieting is often that stepping stone to an eating disorder. I know that it was for me, and I know it was for a lot of women that I talk to. So what's the bottom line here? It's that dieting, food restriction, and self-control aren't going to lead you into the happy, healthy, dreamy lifestyle that you've always imagined that it would. Keep in mind that dieting and keeping like long-term weight loss off works for about 5% of people. So it does work, but it's rare that it's actually going to work for you. So there is a way to go about all of this that feels more natural to you and your body, and that is sustainable for life. And the one question that you should be asking yourself when you choose to adopt new habits is, can I do this for life? Now, I know we've gone over a lot in this episode, so if you want to learn more, check out my How to Eat Masterclass, which I'll link in the show notes. Along with that, I'm going to link some other great resources, such as the Health at Every Size book, Intuitive Eating. So that's the book. I recommend either starting with Intuitive Eating or Body Kindness, because both of those talk about getting in touch with your body, like I've talked about throughout this episode, and learning to understand what your body is telling you. And then Body Positive Power is a little bit more advanced. Health at Every Size and Body Positive Power are both a little bit more advanced. So maybe you want to hold off on those until you feel like you're ready to hear these concepts. But either way, I'm going to link all of them in the show notes for you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and you've gotten something out of it. And I hope that you have an awesome week, and I will chat with you again next week. Bye for now.